When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies Baby. Every week on Movies Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies Baby wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies Baby with 5 Y's. Movies Baby!
Hi, you slaps. This week on the pod, we have the one, the only, the incredible Charlene Incarnate!
Oh my gosh, this is so great. And we found out after recording the episode that today is Charlene's birthday.
So happy
a very happy birthday to you. Charlene, today's great. Charlene opens up a lot about her like upbringing and her childhood and like coming into her identity in drag. I had such a great time. I didn't know so much about her.
Yeah, I know. So it was like a real lesson in Charlene's life.
Yeah, how amazing! Y'all are gonna love it.
Can't wait. We don't talk about fisting at all this episode. It's a wild one.
I was almost gonna say a fisting story at the end, but I didn't. So.
Oh, maybe next week. Bye.
Forever Dog.
When your first choice is a big old bus,
you turn around and boom, you end up with us.
Oh, Diva. Our number is 213-536-9180. Our email is sloppysecondspot@gmail.com. Now on with the show. Are you ready for some sloppy seconds, you stupid little fucks, you nasty little fucks, you dirty little fucks, you stupid little fucks? Today we have an icon and a legend. I'm Big Dipper, that's Meatball, and welcome to Sloppy Seconds with Big Dipper and Meatball.
You switched it.
No, I didn't. I said it right. Oh,
all
my
right,
gosh.
Let's get into our guest, because we are rare.
We don't need to
chit
chat.
She's on one, but I feel like this is how it is.
Do you have a voice reel, Meatball? Are you hitting the streets with the voiceover word?
No, I should. All right, please welcome.
Is there voiceover work for faggots these days?
Absolutely. Well, now every cartoon has one fag. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's Charlene!
Charlene, welcome to our ears, Charlene.
I'm sorry, I forgot that we had not even introduced me. Not that I need introduction,
exactly.
Right?
Unnecessary.
I mean, we saw when we clicked on the episode, right? Or am I embedded? Am I embedded as a surprise?
You're embedded.
Your name
is
in the title.
We saw, listen, I first became aware of you because I believe at the time that we met, you were either your sort of stage name or it possibly was your Instagram name was That Bitch Charlene? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Is that how you began?
I never went by that on stage, but yes, that was the Instagram handle before. It was actually the CH was shared between the end of the word bitch and the beginning of my first name. So many in the drag community thought that my name was actually Arlene.
Right. That Bitch Arlene.
And then when I realized I was approaching all city status and needed to start making friends in other cities, or like once I gathered the notion that your social media like extension goes further than people you've actually met.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that's when I figured that I need to, because I was still living. And you remember how drag Facebook was so big?
Yeah.
Like even before Instagram.
When you could use your drag name as the name before they started getting you.
Yeah. And that's when we noticed that, that like shift. I mean, I don't know. It was like Instagram was big on drag right away, huh?
Yeah. I think people liked it because it was pictures. Because it was like pictures and that's what they were giving.
I'm not a great social media historian having downloaded Zoom just now to do this podcast with you. Yeah,
before we started Charlene Reveals. Because
you've been doing shows. So how have you been doing
shows? No, actually, Meatball. No, that's actually not the truth, Meatball.
Well, how come I've been seeing videos of you dancing on a rooftop with computers aimed at you?
Oh, I've been doing shows in the wild, man. I thought you were talking about... I thought we were segueing from my just having download Zoom just now to I've been doing online shows, which I haven't been doing online shows. No, I mean, I made a few, I was like in the woods for 6 months of last year. So like I made a few, like I'm in the woods music videos while everyone was like, you know, sharing their screen with the host of the show who was like, silent, but like fist pumping and like yassing. You know?
The art of being the silent cheerleader on an Instagram live drag, because after like 2 weeks, everyone learned like, oh,
was your
you
favorite?
Have to be silent in order to let their music play through.
What is her name now? Chiquitita and West Dakota. When they would do their shows, because they would turn it sideways and like
beat each
other.
Cheeky and West had that cute thing they were doing where they were actually like artfully splitting the screen, right? Yeah. And they were like, one was lip syncing and the other one was doing like, I don't know, upper facial expressions. But like I really got into like watching Grace Towers's show, if you ever caught that Zoom, because she was fully committed to the celebrating the queen who was performing as though she was like stage left, like a drag queen, you know, like, and she was just like muted and everything. And like, she would just be like, I mean, you can't, I mean, we're recorded right now, so you can't see what
you're
I'm doing.
Bouncing, she would be going ham. I remember when Rhea Latre was doing Quarantine Queen all the time, and it became clear they couldn't make any noise on the Instagram Live, and so you would hear these little like like just because they knew they couldn't, but they were living, and you could even sometimes hear like the mouth, you know, when like the lips, when the lips open up and you hear a little something just because smiling and all of that. And it's just, it was like everyone was really trying to make that moment.
I think
work.
I only did one Instagram one because at the end of it, all I saw was all the comments just being like, what, how I can count the pixels? Like the internet was bad, and there's no way when you're doing it to know, and no one's gonna stop. Yeah. It was just like, and I put all this work into it, and I was like, nah, I'd rather just pre-record.
I honestly have no idea how any of the girls got it together to like, I understand that everyone like reacts to this like really traumatic event in different ways, but like that watching the Zoom drag for me hurtled me so much further into the dystopian hell, like that I was just like, I need for my drag fantasy to not happen in your bedroom. You got in all this fucking look and you did your makeup for 3 hours and you look so good and you spent so, you know, the great song choice. You did so good. You're just standing in one place and it's either your bedroom that I see or a backdrop, you know, it's like, you can't do 4 hours of makeup on your backdrop, girl. You know, I don't know.
Well, was your compromise? How did you continue?
Well, girl, I was like, I recorded a video like independently, like a music video, just because I wanted to like dance so badly. I was like in the woods fully and like for 6 months. And I was just like, anything that can make me feel connected to this thing that's made me feel so alive for 10 years, I want. So I got my girlfriend to like film me dancing around a fire that I built to a Fiona Apple song. I was like, okay, great. Now I can hit the digital drag circuit. And I like tried to pawn it off to Bitch Pudding, but she was like, you can't show tits on whatever fucking platform she uses.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, have times gotten this hard for Bitch Pudding? That there's no tits allowed in her drag show. I was like, I was like, okay, so like for me, if there's no tits allowed in the drag show, I'm in the woods, you know, like.
You're like, literally. Wait, can I ask you about the woods? Because I know what you're talking about, and I think a lot of people do, but also, do people not talk about that publicly, or people do?
I certainly don't.
Okay.
Because I don't want to face the scrutiny of the very insular community that hangs out in the woods, who right. are always breathing down my fucking neck about how public, in quotes, I choose for my life to be in the first
Got
place.
It.
So, we're dealing with virtually a neighborhood in rural Tennessee, full of gay communes and landowners, where I was hanging out on a mountainside, essentially without electricity or running water for right. 6 months of 2020.
6 months.
It's also, if you're gay and listening and you know of faggots in your city who go party in the woods right. in the South, it's that place.
It's that
Except
place.
Except I'm hanging out there when there is no one allowed in or out last year during COVID. The good thing about the gay woods is that there's traffic in and out pretty much at all times when it's not a pandemic. So you're in the middle of nowhere, essentially, but all these interesting characters are like coming in and out of your sphere, like pretty much year round, excluding like the dead of winter, you know? And so that's been my experience at this place. And even my experience at this place has been these massive, massive week-long parties that they throw. For, you know, several hundreds of faggots. So, you know, I was offered sanctuary there during COVID because I was actually like, after about 7 days of lockdown in New York, I was in quite an unwell place mentally. Uh-huh. I didn't know that I was going to make it to 2021. Right. I mean. So I was like, I basically like phoned home and I was like, SOS. Like, you know, and I basically pulled the princess card, even though they said no one come here, and like came back in August when I saw videos of girls performing again, like, you know, in
you
like
it's time
you
to
know
work.
In parks and such.
Yeah. Well, that's yeah, so amazing. That,
yeah.
Wait, so let's,
was,
so where
really
are
lucky.
You from? Like originally.
Yeah, let's go back.
I want to go back okay. to the beginning. Where were you?
Honey, we're already at the beginning. We're only a few hours from where I grew up in the gay woods of Tennessee. I'm from North Alabama.
Oh,
a
wow.
Small, yeah, I'm from a small town vibe that's actually quite adjacent Birmingham.
Okay. And so what took you to New York? When did you end up in New York? Or was there a bunch of other moves before
have,
that?
Have we met, girl?
yes, we have.
It was basically like, while I was there, I was like waiting to leave pretty much from the moment I figured out that like there was other places. You know, it was just like I had a keen awareness of the fact that I was not going to be able to be who I was in any real capacity in that reality. And that being like, I basically knew my whole life that I was faced with this choice, right? Either like live in this reality where everything is more or less guaranteed to you from like cradle to grave and like scripted out for you. You know, and that involved, unfortunately, like staying closeted. Like all of my queer, role models were like dads in church who I clocked as faggots or like, you know, I mean, you know, like, I don't know. I was like, yeah, they seem like they have a pretty good life. They're like, they like drive a BMW and
right.
like, you know, they're like, whatever the fuck, like they have this version of happiness that I've been that I've been like told is the tea, you know? And so I like pretty much knew, I don't mean to like go into family trauma.
No, we're interested in this.
We love family trauma.
I bet you fucking do, girl.
Oh my God.
That, you know, my family was extremely pious. Extremely evangelical Christian.
Oh, wow.
I knew and you know, extremely like pointedly homophobic.
Damn.
And you know, I pretty much gathered from, you know, okay, I'll use this as an illustration. Where I got my name, Charlene, was actually what my mother used to call me to discourage me from like swishing my hips when I walked, etc.
Oh my God.
Because my name was Charles, Charlie was my name. And it was like, no Charlene today. No Charlene when we go and visit your aunts and uncles. Like, et cetera.
That's
like,
so crazy.
She said, no Charlene. You said, yes, Charlene.
Yes, Charlene, mama.
I mean, eventually, after I did like enough fucking psychedelic drugs, yeah. I do like subconsciously like knew, like, you know, I would hear the name growing up and I would know like that was me. Yeah. And I'd be like, oh my God, that's my name or whatever, you know. And the sound of the word Charlie still sounds like I have marbles. I like, it sounds like I have fucking something in my mouth. I can't even get it out of my throat. You know, it's not even that I like hate the sound of the word so much. I just like hate the way that it feels coming out of me. And I would always like, you know, in media or like stories, if you hear the word Charlene, there's like a few songs that say Charlene or whatever. It would pop up at times in my life and I'd be like, just a little like flurry of excitement. Like, oh, that's me. Like oh, somewhere deep
so
down in
cool.
there. And so it's like, you know, it's like, it's weird for me to say that now as like a born again 30-year-old. But like, you know, denial is a really tricky, really like powerful thing. And like, that was my reality for the first, even like after I moved to New York, you know, like I came to New York to go to college, but it was only on the condition that I found a good church community to belong to, which of course I did, honey, because I had some boys to crush on in the fucking church. Yes, God.
What so church like, did you go to? Do you remember?
Yeah, I was involved in a oh my God. I was like, you girls are really dragging it out of me.
No, I'm just curious.
No,
was it the Shaker
like,
Church? I'm just kidding.
It wasn't. It was not a church group per se. It was a fellowship within NYU. So it was like the couple of dozen Christians who were at that whole school with literally tens of thousands of faggots running around.
Yes.
All running around like Washington Square Park, fucking each other at all times. And I was literally, and this is, and you know, like, you know, this is why it's like translates to like, it was a pressure cooker, you know? So it made me a crazier bitch in the end. And like, you know, so I'm like not ashamed of it, but I do regret it because like, fuck, I missed out on all of the, like the dudes nude era. I just remembered that I wasn't
dudes
a part of
nude.
That. I was like,
what's dudes
yes,
nude?
Honey.
It was like a fucking
like
website
a pre,
where people shared nudes, right? It was like,
it's
sort
a
of
pre, it's like a pre-Grindr social network of naked fags.
Yes.
In their like early 20s or late
oh
teens
my
or like
goodness.
Underage, like even, you know.
Wait, Meatball, so when were you at NYU?
2008 to 2012.
Was there an overlap, you think?
When were you?
There was quite a bit of overlap, actually.
Oh!
I wonder. But see, here's the thing. Also, you know, like this goes to show.
I didn't see half the people that tell me that they went there the same years as me and they were in the same department as me.
Right. I just mean to say that you and I are probably about as separated as any two NYU students can be. I was a year ahead of you.
Oh, yeah.
I was 07.
Fellowship.
Oh yeah, no, I was full. I was basically full time. That like,
wow.
It was basically acted as like, kind of like, I guess a fraternity unit, somewhat.
Whoa.
I mean, that's the way I remember it because, and here's this. Here's where it gets really fucking hot. Are you ready?
Yes.
I eventually, after my sophomore year, because again, this is like the not just like unwritten, but like agreement that I have with my parents that I have to belong to this to exist in New York. And I was like, whatever gets me in New York and out of Alabama, I'm doing it, you know? And I'm just like, I have to stay in this school. I have to keep doing this. I was basically majoring and slipping through the cracks. You know what I mean? And I mean, girl, I was taking Swahili class, the whole works of it. I was just like, get me my credits and get me out of here so I can live whatever, like I can like whatever like awaits me whenever I fucking jump off the cliff. And of course, all of that's subconscious. I'm just like miserable and hate my life. Oh, where it gets really hot, though, what I'm saying is with every bondage comes a little kink. You know what
yeah.
I mean? So okay. What's really awesome is I moved into a house with 9 other of my Christian fellowship brethren my junior year of NYU.
Okay.
Or like maybe it was in like halfway through my sophomore year. And basically, like, I was throwing parties there dressed like a faggot. This is fully before ever coming out and still being full-time committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Did any of them say anything?
Yeah. But ultimately, you're working with a specific population of people who've been either brainwashed or are closeted themselves or have their parents' opinions implanted into them vis-a-vis this fucking church that homosexuality and queerness is not even something that is real. It is a separation from Christ. Therefore, it is like, it's not that it's like a sin. It's like, it's a separation. It's repackaged. It's good old fashioned Christian fucking homophobia and all of the different like systems of oppression that exist within that fucking church. Not like that church, like the church.
Yeah, but where was it hot? That's what I want to know.
How did it get steamy?
In that house with 9 other like virgin, sexually frustrated,
circle jerks.
maybe queer, like dudes. All of us like, you know, talking about like our twisted desires in the Bible passages that like match up to them and jacking off separately in our fucking twin beds. I don't fucking know. Does that not sound hot to you?
To me, but to
you better come in my Bible.
Wait,
see,
okay.
That's the fucking.
You could teach a class at NYU.
You need your own podcast, period.
Fully, but we want to see how
Charlene.
All of this experience sort of boiled together. When did you first sort of see drag performance? When did it click that this was for you? And 3-part question. How do you identify what you do as a performer? Performance art, drag, immersive
experience.
Okay,
will you remember those?
I sure will.
Split them. Can we just split them into 3 different questions?
Yeah. Okay. So when did you first see drag performance?
Oh yeah. When did you first see it?
Drag as a whole.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, did you go to a club in New York?
No, I secretly took a class at NYU taught by Professor Joe Jeffries. Shout out to Professor Joe Jeffries because he is a drag documentarian who now like comes to Bushwig and like other shows of mine and like films all of them, which is really cute.
Oh, wow.
But I took his class called Gay and Lesbian Performance in New York, or maybe not in New York, Gay and Lesbian Performance. It was in the basement of the library at NYU, and it was me and a bunch of Tishies and their hags. And for those of you who don't know, Tishies are people who are in the art school, yeah. AKA homosexuals.
They're all fags.
Yeah, every last one of them. I think it's actually like a check mark on the application. You know, you remember, girl, the freshman floor that's dedicated to LGBT, like, whatever the fuck?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, girl, y'all applied for that floor?
They wanted to be there, and it was always girl, the nastiest. Also, that library, like any, it's full of cum. Every corner of that library has cum on it.
It's a sexual library?
Yeah, people used to go and hook up there all the time.
I definitely spilled more than a few loads in that library.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, wait.
Yeah.
Okay. So then when did you first, I forgot the second question, but I'm going to say, when
start
did you first start
drag.
Doing drag
well,
or
so
start
that,
performing?
That class that I took was during the first season of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Bum, bum.
So I was
you
a-
you said Bibi Zahara Bonet.
Yeah, girl. Well, honey, I was actually at the time going for Jade Sotomayor because she was the
sure.
fishy one.
She was.
I was like, yes. That's the woman. Of course, like, that's who I like end up
I also see a little Rebecca telling Glasscock in you.
I will accept that graciously.
Yeah. It was a compliment. She was the pretty one.
Yeah, she had that really weird lip liner scenario that going on that I could never get past. But you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yes, it was always very heavy. But it's that's a very popular lip liner now. Like a very thick,
coming back.
It's coming back very big.
They do it on TikTok.
I was just thinking how drag makeup is veering back towards less is more, though. Do you not agree?
I completely agree. People stop doing the clown eyebrows and using their real eyebrow. Yeah.
And like when you just look at the way that it's slanted, like think about Simone who just won Drag Race. Think about her face.
Oh my God.
Like you can barely see makeup on it at all.
Yeah. It's gorgeous.
Oh my God. Cause she is gorgeous. Yeah. You know?
Right.
And so like, I don't know that, you know, it's a little bit of a canvas in that situation, but
I never get away with doing that. Oh, sorry. You were inspired by Dr. I just said I could never do that. I could never do like a small, I have such a fat face.
I want to support you in trying to do that.
Oh, thank you so much.
I would like you to give it a go.
One time. Girl, bigger bricks than you are trying it.
Okay. We got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you.
Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime.
Yeah. And under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
Are you ready to shop? Rakuten's Big Give Week is back.
Get 15% cash back at hundreds of stores, including headliners like Bombas, Elf Cosmetics, and Hotels.com.
Rakuten is how in-the-know shoppers get the best savings. They shop the brands they love and earn cash back on top of deals.
During Big Give Week, May 6th through May 13th, the cashback rates are even bigger with Rakuten. But only for a limited time.
You can save on everything you need for summer, like clothing, outdoor gear, and travel.
And Rakuten deposits your cash back directly into your PayPal account, or they can send you a check.
Rakuten really is the best way to shop.
Membership is free, and when you sign up and shop today, you get an extra 10% cash back boost.
That's an extra 10% cash back on top of the 15% cash back. You won't see higher cash back rates than these.
Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app.
Rakuten.
Shoppers get it.
Rakuten.
Okay, and we're back.
So
part two of the question was, you're in the basement, you're having your queer performance class, Drag Race is on TV. What led you to your first gig? Where was it? Do you remember the song and the look?
Yes. Okay. So here's the deal. Fast forward to basically graduation day. And so it's like the spring before my 22nd birthday. And that's when I come out of the closet as a cocksucker, right?
Uh-huh.
I have already fully turned looks at this point. But I had not committed to, I am going to be a drag queen, like, until this moment, right? And so, basically, for my first year and change of queerness, I had to deal with some, shall we say, personal growth issues regarding my life falling apart when I came out,
yeah.
right? So like, basically, I'm subconsciously scared for my entire life that coming out of the closet would mean losing my entire sense of reality as I know it, tethered by my family and my upbringing. And I subconsciously know that it's the end of me and my family coming out.
Yeah.
Because of all of the clue, all of the mini clues that I had. Like, basically, also, like, if we want to dip back into childhood trauma, I tried to come out as a teenager and my mom didn't let me.
Whoa.
Yeah, so I fully had a flyer for the high school gay prom that they were throwing at the Unitarian Center for gay kids. And like, I fully slipped, let it slip and showed her and was like, I'm going to go to this. And she absolutely flipped her shit, had the event shut down and also like tried to completely dismantle the NCCJ, the National Conference of Community and Justice, that had held the workshop that I did over the summer where I met these gay kids in the first place. Cause she was like, do you understand? Do you follow?
Oh,
like,
I completely follow. Yeah. Like, she went straight to the top. She went to the manager.
Honey.
I had made some gay friends over a summer. And basically they were like, we know the tea. And so I came out as questioning, right? Because that was a thing when we were in high school, right?
That's what the kid was for then.
right. And so I was like, I'm questioning because I don't know. And honestly, I really didn't feel like a faggot then either. I knew I had something bigger and better going on.
Yeah.
Right.
But I didn't like, though, I of course didn't know there was anything as a tranny, you know. I knew that like faggots did drag sometimes. Yeah. Because I had actually met two queens who I'm trying to get back in touch with. It's an episode of my podcast for the future. There were these two queens at that summer camp that I went to in high school who like recruited me and gave me my first drag name. So I guess that answers your question for my first performance.
That's wow. So insane.
All right. Well, I want to talk about your art.
Oh, sorry. Right. My first drag gig up in the queer world. I came out of the closet. It was a catastrophe. I slowly rebuilt the pieces until I realized I want to be a drag queen. This is definitely what I want to do. Right now we're in like season 4 or so of Drag Race. And the reason I mention it is because any drag queen who comes up after 2010, who's telling you that Drag Race is not in like influential in her come up is a lying fucking bitch. You know, we're all
fight them.
Like, think about we're 10 years down the line now. I'm not even ashamed to say that, because these fucking girls, seasons 1 through 6, you know, like these fucking girls are these iconic personalities who I do not mind at all, like looking up to in my drag youth. Yeah. I can't say the same like anymore per se, but also like we're older too. So I don't know. I'm not going to say anything about that, but Drag Race is influential. It's influential to my story as it probably is to yours, Meatball, and probably is to yours, Dipper.
Yeah, I mean, look at him. I completely work with all of the drag queen girls.
Yeah, I work in the like trickle down drag race RuPaul economy.
Charlene has left the chat. Oh,
we all do.
She's just walking around. She's just feeling herself and walking around.
Okay, I don't know. And now I'm thinking, so I'm pacing.
I was going to talk about the starter pack.
Yes, do it. You do it. That's what I was going to do, but you could do it.
No, you can do it. Go ahead.
Charlene, if you had a Charlene starter kit.
Remember those memes that were like basic pumpkin spice latte girl starter kit?
This is the questions about my art?
Yeah.
What would the
starter kit?
Yeah, no, I know what the starter kit is. I know what the starter kit is for sure. okay, let's think about it. Okay, so starter kit can be anything. It doesn't even have to be like drag and makeup related, but it should be. Okay, so I would say. MAC Lady Danger, the lipstick, or any of its many dupes. Pat McGrath Obsessed is a dupe for Lady Danger. Lady Gaga has one that I take with me in my purse because I don't want to lose my Pat. A lot of girls have come out with this really nice Kit Kat wrapper Vermilion, but Lady Danger is the OG. So that's the starter pack.
Okay.
My Timberland heels, I guess, just because it's like, I mean, honestly, it's an orthopedic scenario for me. And like I really, honestly, if women didn't wear high heel shoes, I would not be one. like it's the high heel that really mm-hmm. was my first like claw my eyeballs out, like gotta have it, faggot, I am a faggot and I can't help it moment. Notable high heel icon in my youth was Justin Tranter of Semi Precious Weapons, who opened sure. for the Fame Monster mm-hmm. tour.
Yes.
I followed him around his little bar tour, his little bar weeklies in the Lower East Side when I lived there, before I was out of the closet. And like, I was just so obsessed with the notion of a man wearing high heels that I just like tumbled into this whole fucking mess, like through the high heels in the first place.
Oh my God.
But the way that it translates nowadays as a 30 something drag queen is like, I'm like such a physical performer.
Yeah.
And I like the boots enough that like, and they go with enough of my outfits that I'm just like, oh, fuck it. And honestly, like I'm still biking and or driving and or walking a lot to gigs. And I'm the kind of girl, and a lot of us are in New York, who likes to be in drag when I leave the house. And so right. I'm just like, it's kind of like an ultimately a convenience, laziness, and resting on my laurels scenario with the Timberland heels. But in the process, baby. They become totally iconic.
They are. Right.
Bitch, you're telling me I sold them to some poor sucker who lives in, well, she's
I remember
lovely,
that.
And you, I'm sure her town is valid.
You got a new pair, and then you auctioned off the old one.
Right. I still have one for sale on deck. If anyone listening is interested, you can go to charleneincarnate.com.
Yes.
Okay, and then,
but yeah, I was basically like, I can't throw these fucking things away, and they're fucking like taking up space in my life. So whatever. What else? In the starter pack, right?
Yeah.
To me, there's a little high-powered yet small and portable electric fan.
Yeah. I like to imagine myself as though the fan were not even there.
Right.
Yes.
So I'm kind of in for terms of me making up my own starter pack, we'll let the fan be her own little sidekick character. She actually, before COVID, the fan had its own booking fee, like Ornacia.
Oh my God.
Like, I'd be like, do you want the wind? And like, yeah, I'd be like, well, then I have to take a car and blah, 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 blah. And it's the schlepping fee, basically, for that van.
That's so funny.
Do
I
you
know,
want the wind?
I know, times were so good, weren't they?
They were so
oh
fun.
Oh my God.
Okay. What about yes. a Poppy brand jockstrap?
Oh yeah, you love that Poppy brand.
Yeah, I do like Poppy brand. I do. I'm sponsored by Nasty Pig now, though.
Oh,
okay. Come on, sponsorships.
Well, by sponsored by, I mean faggots who work there mop the jock straps and give them to me.
Okay.
That's a sponsorship.
So you can't hashtag it or anything, but yeah. shout out to my girls who work at Nasty Pig. And yeah, that can be in the starter pack. Maybe like a tab of acid and a La Croix. Do we have okay. consumables in the
yes.
in the starter
yes.
pack?
There are no rules.
And wait, what about a long dress?
Oh yeah, she loves
an
a long
evening
dress.
Gown type dress.
Yeah, I'm into that as long as it's like slit past my hip.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because you gotta be athletic when you're performing.
I mean, athletic is the word that I use to describe it, but any queen who's actually a dancer, like compared to me, you can kind of see that I'm just like, I'm wearing myself out because like I'm older and I haven't really moved in a year, but, like, I don't know that athletic is really the right word. It's just the word that I use. Yeah. I'm like, I'm definitely whipping my hair around and my arms and legs around. I definitely feel it the next day. So yeah, it's athletic and it does come from the heart. Thank you. Is that the way you feel? That's so
yeah.
sweet.
Yeah, I love watching you perform.
I feel like I can watch an Instagram story of someone who is at the back of $3 bill, sort of shakily zooming in on you, and I can feel what you're doing. Like,
yes.
I really feel like through the phone, through that other person's experience, you are such like you really can like cut through as a performer, and it's so you can tell all the songs really mean something to you,
yeah,
even
you
when you're
great
just
song yeah. choice. And yeah. that $3 bill stage is huge, and you like take up the whole stage. You work the whole thing. You get off the stage. It's like incredible to watch you perform and feel it the whole time. Like you're in the fantasy.
Damn, what am I going to do with all this gas, honey?
Burn it down.
That's so sweet. I mean, it definitely is what I live for, you know? And I think that might be like what comes through in the performance, but it like really is like, you know, it's why COVID drove me crazy so much, is because it like really is like, you know, and I know that you feel this way too. Like the girls who like really commit to drag, even though you like don't make money off of it forever and like still don't, even when you do. Like I just like, there's like nothing, we get to be pop stars for nights or like whatever, rock stars or whatever. And the girls live for it harder than they would like the artist doing the song.
True,
girl,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, sometimes when you see the artist do the song, they're like, and you're like, how did you get a record deal?
I know. My favorite thing anyway.
You go,
my
you
favorite
go.
Thing to do, my favorite like song choice is, my favorite like troll to do in shows is to take a song that someone like thinks that they hate and make them like realize that it's actually a legendary iconic ballad anthem, like, you know.
Were you the one doing a lot of Mr. Mistoffelees? Or no, what was the song? The Taylor Swift song from Cats?
I'd never have performed the Taylor Swift version of McCavity. I stick to the OBC, baby.
Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry.
But yeah, I've performed. Tyler, Ashley, and I are performing Cats in its entirety at our 24-hour show.
Wait. Tell us about that. What? A 24-hour
what
show?
Is this?
Bitch, we were trying to do this show. We were trying to do this 24-hour show in August of 2020. We had a budget and a fundraising calendar and a production calendar and staff, honey. You may not know, but Tyler, Ashley, and I do a marathon drag brunch in Brooklyn where we perform nonstop the entire two seatings. So it's like noon to about 5 p.m. that we perform nonstop.
Oh my God.
And so we're taking that model and basically translating it into a full-fledged 24-hour high production, scenario that happens. Where we want to do it is the helipad in the Fire Island Pines.
Oh,
but it's technically public land, so we're gonna have to. We have a production manager who's working on permits for us.
Oh my goodness!
But we've been postponed, and I actually had more fucking complications with my joints this year, and I had more surgery. And I just want to fucking live this year, man.
Yeah.
So right. We're postponed to August of 2022, but we have started production and budgeting and like fundraising for our 24-hour brunch, and during which we will be performing Cats in its entirety. Tyler's the only one who has lyrics to learn for that, because I've been diehard Cats since I was a teenager.
Well, oh, you're goodness. A musical theater gal, aren't
yeah.
you?
Speaking of musical
I'm
theater.
I'm a musical theater faggot, yes.
Do you know Wicked?
Yes, I have, I still have a bootleg of the OBC of Wicked, like that I downloaded off Kazaa back in the day.
Oh my goodness.
So I used to perform Defying Gravity. I used to sing it during my free period in high school in the theater. Like, come on, how universal an experience is that?
I mean, I was just about to ask, can you give us the, ah!
Not anymore, honey. I've smoked so much pot.
Oh, okay.
And I just don't like, I just like don't, I just like, you know, I don't want to be that girl who has that voice that sounds like someone who thinks they can on American Idol. I'm just like a drag
queen. You mean,
what did
exactly
you just call
what
me?
We
what did
do you just every week on our podcast?
Say to me out loud?
where we pretend.
Where
wait,
I
but you
sing
also like what are Hair. Other? Do you like? I feel like you would like the musical Wild Party. Do you like that one?
I mean, I prefer. Are you talking about Lipa's Wild Party? There are two, you know.
Right, wait, the one that Toni Collette did.
Isn't that
the better one? Isn't that the better one?
Honestly, I only know the Adina cut from the fucking Wild Party. I only know the Adina song. But yes, I know that song and perform it incessantly.
And you do Hair, I have, right?
I love Hair. I saw Hair my first time on acid on Broadway.
Wait, you went to a Broadway
How
show
do you
on,
live
acid?
On acid? It gives me panic attacks.
Bitch, I did acid and then did the Hair lottery and won.
You
on
waited
acid.
In line. They said, give her a ticket.
With all those, with
she
all
looks
those,
like she's ready.
She looks like she's ready for a good time.
I mean, it was God, you know. It's the only explanation.
It was God. Do you? So you enjoy hallucinogenics?
It's pretty much the only drug I really fucking enjoy. Like the only hardcore drug. I like smoke weed all day, every day. I don't even really drink anymore since COVID.
Oh wow.
That's not totally true. I will have a few drinks when I'm like doing shows because it's like, I don't know, it's a fun ritual. And I have alcohol tied to fucking work issues. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly.
What only really gets me rip roaring, ready to go is like LSD. I don't even really love, I don't really like jive with the dialogue, with the, you know, the discourse of LSD versus mushrooms. I think they're different beasts for different experiences and completely different scenarios.
Yeah.
So if I'm taking hallucinogens recreationally, I only do LSD in various, like, you know, doses. But it's really, I don't really think you fuck with psilocybin for like social and or like recreational purposes. I always get a really heavy lesson when I'm on mushrooms, you know. She's got something to say, and it's not always, you know, like it's this very like maternal energy, and I have mommy issues. Sometimes I even hallucinate my mom's voice when I'm on mushrooms. So I'm like,
whoa.
I'm like not, you know, I'm like not really trying to go there if I'm like doing drag, for instance. But you know, like there, LSD is really the cherry on top as far as the like transforming into a superstar to be a drag queen thing goes. That feeling from being in drag and like performing, talk about amplifying times the nth percent, honey,
yeah.
You know?
So there's also, you've been making tinctures and selling those on your website. Why don't you tell us a little bit more?
Well, honey, we're all diversifying.
But why don't you tell us a little bit more about that?
If
someone wants to order
it's something. It's actually linked to the LSD use, if you would believe that. Something very healing and mild. My tincture that I sell on my website, in the interest of diversification, I have actually made in small batches before I started the merch game. It's a recipe that was given to me by this witch who hangs out in the woods when she noticed that I was strung out on LSD and hadn't slept in several days.
Oh my God.
She gave me this little tincture. And tincture is basically, for the purpose of this conversation, a tincture is an herbal medicine. It's an extraction of the herbal medicinal properties of an herb into, in this case, liquor. So I make it with rum and these two herbs. And the witch who gave me the recipe told me that when you do it in the special way that she told me, you get the, quote, exact chemical mica of benzodiazepine. And that's actually can't be true because it's not quite as good as taking a bar. I mean, honey, when it's real, you know that it's real. You remember Wendy's? Like, when it's not Xanax. It's not Xanax.
But it works just as good. I might order some because I get stressed out.
It does. It works. It works well. It works well at hitting that fucking button when you need it hit and you're not trying to do Xanax, because Xanax is actually like really dangerous. more so than like, you know, any of the drugs that any of us do recreationally. It's like super duper addictive and takes ice cream scoops out of your brain. And it's so much fun. Fuck. It's like definitely like a really nice punctuation to an acid trip where your brain's been spinning, like doing merry-go-rounds for literally 15 hours. And then all of a sudden it's just silence and placid. You're like sitting on a lotus flower in the middle of a fucking lake, you know?
I just went to order one and they're back ordered. You're sold out.
Honey. Yeah, my apartment can only fit like 2 gallons at a time. Like, look, see how I'm spilled out into my living room? All that drag in my living room right now.
Oh my God.
And I have two roommates. I'm just like such a piece of shit. So anyway, like, I'm just like not trying to. It takes up so much room in my
room. It also means the product is exclusive.
Yeah, it's exclusive. Not a lot of people can try it.
Right.
And I figure like the month-long batching is enough time for the word to get out a little more.
Mm-hmm,
and honey. Like, because a lot of orders that I get for it are people who've just tried their friends, because people don't want to believe that like you can get like help as easily as something like that. It's just valerian root and chamomile. People have chamomile in tea, you know.
Yeah.
And valerian root is another like really, really mild, non-psychoactive, like non-pharmacological herb, essentially like in the way that a green tea will wake you up, like a valerian root tea will bring you down. It's like a downer.
Yeah.
It relaxes and suppresses your central nervous system. So it gives you the feeling of actual like relaxation. It'll bring you down from stress, escalation, or drugs, or like if you're having one of those washing machine brain nights where you can't go to sleep, it's really good for that. A lot of people just take it as a sleep tincture if they have trouble sleeping. Yeah, it's super duper helpful for me because it helped when I had not slept for several days and needed to. Like sometimes you can, we've all been there. It's really hard to finally cast off into the abyss after you've been raging for that long. But like, it's really helpful for trannies who have like altercations on the street, like with people, like I take it if I ever like have someone like, you know, like when a tranny's walking, when you're walking down the street and someone's like, yo, and rolls down their window and is like, are you a dude? And then like follows you and rolls their window down, you know, like, and you get home and you're escalated, like a little bit of that tincture and you'll like be able to move on with the day, you know? It does only work for 9 out of every 10 people, which is also really creepy. 1 out of every 10 people are actually like escalated. So I tell people who buy it to try a few drops first when you're otherwise normal. And see how it affects you. And if you're like, if you like don't notice that you're like anxious, then you're good to go.
I'm sure I would be escalated and Meatball would be sitting on a lotus flower.
I would be going to heaven.
Yeah.
Let's take a break and we'll be right back.
And we're back.
We are back with our
I hit it this time, baby. And this segment
final
is called
segment. Oh, Meatball's hitting the notes.
This is the portion of the show where we have a conversation about any wild sex stories or anything weird that's happened recently or in the past.
And I'm like listening to you talk about like just life in New York and Brooklyn. I'm like now I'm recalling all of the wild and crazy things sexually that happened to me in Brooklyn. It is so wild to hook up with people in New York because you find yourself going to so many outrageous locations.
Yes.
Where you're like, oh, I've never taken the train over here before. Like, oh, this is looks like a dump of a garden apartment, but it's actually amazing inside and you have a pool in your apartment or whatever.
Yeah, I see the inside of some cool apartments for sure.
I once hooked up, I'll start. It was numerous times. I just had a flashback, but it was like on 14th Street, maybe between like 4th and 5th Avenue. I don't really remember, but there's like a big church and this guy lived in the garden apartment below the church. Then it was like an active and open church. And I would go down there just to suck his dick, and it was a huge dick. But he always gave me, like, alcohol and drinks and stuff, but he was like, I don't drink, I'm sober. And it was just such a really interesting thing where he would like get me drunk and talk at me. And anytime I tried to like respond or have anything, he'd be like, you don't need to talk. And then it would be like, I would just suck his dick. And then I would leave and be like, this is such a weird. And I did that like 4 or 5 times where he would just get me drunk, wouldn't let me speak to him, feed me poppers to suck his dick, and then like tell me to leave. Am I okay?
So of course he was affiliated with the church.
Yeah,
he
had to have been.
Yeah.
I wonder if he had keys. Do you know if he had access to the church?
I mean, no, we never really talked about that, but it was like a full, nice, furnished apartment, but I never saw any crosses or anything in it. There was no evidence of it being like a religious person.
Did he stake you with a cross while he came in your mouth?
No.
I just have this fantasy of fucking someone who has access to a church and blackmailing them for access to it to throw a drag show in there.
Yes!
Your mind is always on the business.
You remember that episode of Sex and the City where they're like, tonight we're going to church, and then was a gay club?
Wow, I don't remember that.
I don't.
I think that all four of the girls have problematic ways of relating to gay people. So.
Yes, of course. Oh, absolutely. That stemmed from the show's creator and how he wrote all of those characters.
Beginning with their gay friends who suck and are homophobic.
Yeah.
Yes, dude, that whole show. Anyways, I remember when I first moved to Brooklyn, you feel a little like invincible when it comes to traveling because you're like, oh, I take this train, I can connect to this bus that goes to Penn Station, you can get on the metro, you could do. But you know, after living in New York for like even just 3 months or 6 months, you're like, no, bitch, if it's more than 5 stops on the train, I'm not going.
Oh, yeah. Unless I'm
so
wasted.
I remember hearing like talking with this dude on the app, and you know me, I like old guys who are a little awkward with big dicks who don't know what to do, who are like mind blown by my blowjobs.
Bitch, and we should switch bodies, girl.
he lives in New Jersey, and I remember him messaging me, and I was in Greenpoint. I took the fucking G train to the L train into the city, up to the station, and then I got on a fucking path train, and I took that not just to Hoboken, not just to Jersey City, but like end of the line path train. He picked me up in his car, and then we drove 20 minutes to his home in Jersey. I sucked his dick on the edge of a fold-out bed in the living room. So clearly someone else was home.
No.
And then he took me back to the train.
He didn't even take you all the way home?
No. Why did I spend like 4 hours in transit for a 20-minute blowjob? Like, why do young people?
We've all been there.
Because we want love.
But there must be dick in Greenpoint.
There could have been, but you weren't looking for it. I'm sure there was a lot of dick that was closer that you just weren't having because it wasn't your fantasy.
Do you have any go-to wild sexual encounter stories that aren't traumatic?
Well, I can give you my recent sexual activity, which is kind of a gag.
Okay. I love a gag. So, I try not to, but I love a gag.
It intersects with the way that COVID has changed the landscape of New York City.
Okay.
So it's a multi-level podcast moment.
That's what we live for.
Right. Okay. So in Brooklyn, COVID-19 has produced a lot of vacancies in many buildings in Brooklyn. For instance, in my building where Tyler, Ashley, and I live, she's actually lived here for 7 years and has a good relationship, wink, wink, with the management.
Got it.
We actually have had several vacancies in our building, and the landlord has been super freaked out because, the landlords are holding onto the property value and no one's moving in.
Yeah.
Right.
So Tyler, Ashley, and I, the geniuses that we are, whipped up a proposal to our landlord that we would help him fill these units if he would give us access to them. And so now we are doing what is unheard of and unthinkable to New Yorkers, which is we're hosting, baby, in empty apartments. God. In the empty apartments that are like, there's like a half dozen in our building at any given time. Our landlord is leaving them unlocked for us to show to friends who are moving to the city. or for all of the dicks that I suck and the loads that Tyler takes, respectively, and or that we spill out onto the floor and don't even bother wiping up.
No!
Yes, God. Yes, God.
Yes, God, mama. Is there any furniture in those places?
No, girl, who needs furniture? I've got knees and a pair of Uggs. Like,
oh my.
We were just talking about this because Meatball was saying at one of your old apartment in Burbank, Meatball, you had like that extra side room.
I had an empty room that for a long time was empty.
And you would just hook up with people on the floor
on the carpet. And we'd like have rug burns and stuff. But I was like, I'm not taking you to my room.
That's smart. That's really smart. I'm the same way. I'm not trying to have my fucking trade in my bed where I go to sleep at night.
Yeah.
Ew. Right.
How gross.
No, I want people that I love to experience that space. Definitely. I only invite them in for love.
Yes.
I used to only swallow for love, but COVID turned me into a fucking cum guzzler, honestly.
You're like, I'm getting it now. I gotta get it.
Well, for the longest time, it was like the only way that I could safely compromise with my roommates, because I would make the trade keep a mask on and just suck them off,
right?
And swallow, and eventually swallowed. And I was like, wow, I'm actually like fully getting off. I don't have to worry about my own boundaries. I'm fully in control here the entire time. And like, I fully got my dick slapping me in the face fantasy. And I guess like, that's all I really, like, I'm not even much of a bottom anyway though. So like, I guess that's intersecting here, but that's like really how I've been getting off. And I'm just like, you know, it's like a lot more simple. It's a lot less complicated that way. I'm like really living my life. But again, also I just started dating someone. So I'm like coming also, so.
Oh, that's good.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Well, listen, Charlene.
This has been so fun. I love you so much. I can't wait till we can hang out again.
I'm sorry for talking over you the whole time, but
it's literally fine. This is an incredible
plenty of you
talking.
Right?
Yeah, they're pretty tired of me at this point. Yeah, so I'm glad that someone else
also,
took the reins.
That's what our podcast is, and doing it over Zoom, I had this
really
intense.
Weird feeling that we didn't get to any of the questions. I hope that you got something good.
No, we got
kidding?
To most of the questions, and you told some
amazing
stories. Yeah, I loved it.
Great.
It's going to be one of our top apps. I can tell you that right now.
People can follow you.
I love it. Thank you.
On the internet.
Thanks for the vote of confidence. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. People can follow you on the internet at Charlene Incarnate.
Yes, right? I'm on Twitter now too, honey. I'm
she's going to spell her opinions on Twitter.
I've been on Twitter since 2009, but I've been on Twitter since I quit Facebook.
Okay. And also, if you haven't yet seen the documentary film Wig on HBO, Charlene is very much in that film.
Were you also technically a writer on that, or was that something else that you wrote for?
I was not a writer on Wig. I don't think it had any writers.
Well, when I just looked you up, it said writer, Charlene Incarnate.
Oh, did you Google me?
Yeah, mama, duh.
Because she writes for publications.
It says writer because I have bylines on the internet, and it just probably thinks that that's because I, like, you know, I don't know, what's it going to say? Tranny? Loudmouth tranny?
I wish it would.
Send an email to Google. We can update it.
I'd like for it to say loudmouth tranny with a tits out, please.
Oh, my God.
Where can everyone find you?
We just said Charlene Incarnate on internet, Instagram,
then it's
and Twitter.
My turn. Thanks
now
so much for listening to Sloppy Seconds. You can follow us on IG at SloppyPod or send us an email to SloppySeconds@gmail.com or you can call with a fuck talk story to 213-536-9180, or you can follow us on Instagram at Big Dipper Jelly and Spiciest Meatball, and I'm Fat Drag Meatball on Twitter. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't ever miss an episode, which come out every Tuesday and Friday.
Goodbye.
Doodle doo doo forever dog. To listen to Sloppy Seconds ad-free and one day early, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus.
Sloppy Seconds is produced by Forever Dog and Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom.
Hosted by Big Dipper and Meatball. Music, editing, and sound design by William Pitt.
Executive produced by Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Joe Cilio, Brett Boehm, and Alex Ramsey.
Our artwork was drawn by Christian Cimarroni.
And our theme song was written by Mike Malarkey.